You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James. And this week, it's a solo episode. So if you don't know, if you haven't been following me and following what's going on, if you haven't been looking at the gram, I like saying the gram for some reason. If you're not looking at the gram and you don't know, I just went to Texas with Darren Carter. Darren Carter and I went out there and did three shows. And it was a fun time. If you want to find out, go listen to the Pocket Party Podcast. Darren talks about the trip from his point of view. From my point of view, it was very interesting as well. I was able to travel with him, learn from him, pick up a lot of stuff. The funniest thing is I find this a lot when I travel, even when David Studebaker and I traveled. A lot of people sleep on airplanes. I cannot sleep on an airplane. It doesn't matter how long the flight is or whatever. I can't sleep on an airplane. So it's weird. When I was in the Navy, I could sleep anywhere at any time. I slept in like our room where we had all the rounds for the 5-inch 54. We'd go down there and I could like knock out, no problem. But I cannot sleep for some reason on an airplane. So that was interesting. We ate a lot of barbecue. We ate a lot of Tex-Mex. We had fun. I introduced Darren Carter to hot, fresh Raising Cane's. That was a great, great one, a great night to hang out together. We hung out every night. He gave me tips. He gave, every show he was like, hey, do this thing on the next show. So do a show. Okay, that was great. Now do this thing. And by the end of it, he was like, this is your set's like way better. And it was way better. And not that it was like junk and he didn't say that. He was just saying these little tweaks, sometimes a little tweak gives you, 10% more or whatever. And just by doing a little tweak and a little tweak and a little tweak, you just get better and better and better. And that's like one of the best parts about being on the road with headliners or doing shows with headliners is that you can easily gain, a bunch of knowledge in a short amount of time and stuff. That's my favorite thing. That's why I like going with David Studebaker. He's been doing it for a long time. He always gives me good tips. When we're in Alaska, he gave me great tips. Those have translated. I go hang out with Agostino, Zoida. He gives me great tips. I work on stuff. Darren, Paul Moomjean, like literally everyone I surround myself with, I am getting better because they are willing to be helpful to me, to be able to share their knowledge and everything with me. Now, the hardest part about being on the road is I am also a comedy writer. So when my hours are thrown off, it's harder for me to write. So I had projects that I was like doing, early in the morning or late at night or, trying to get stuff and sleep because my schedule was kind of whack after that. I'm not a great traveler. That's the weirdest part, right? I want to be a stand-up comedian. I am a stand-up comedian, a professional stand-up comedian. I'm paid to do stand-up. But I'm not a good airplane traveler. This is my dream. So if you guys, and I'm working on this because I am getting more bookings. I have some private gigs that are happening and things are happening. I'm traveling around. Is to literally just get an RV and travel around and do stand up that way. Like do my tours or do whatever as I travel around the country. Now, friends of mine would probably just be like, oh, I'll just fly to wherever and do whatever. But, I like the idea of one, seeing the country, but also two, you move gradually into time zones, right? It's not so hard. It's not like, hey, I'm flying from LA to Texas in one day, driving to a gig, performing that night, driving back to the hotel. We're off on the clock. It's midnight there. It's, 10 here. And now we're eating dinner finally. And then we're going to bed at 1. And then we have to be back up for TV or radio or whatever at this time. So there's a lot of stuff there. It just throws you off. So I like the gradual movement into it. Plus, one of my other dreams, and I know it's going to sound really weird, unless you're a baseball fan, this probably won't sound weird. I would like to go to see a game at every stadium in one season. So I'd like to go start in San Diego, work my way up, go down and around and come back. Some states don't have baseball teams, you know what I'm saying? So do it that way. Go to all the games in as many states as I could. And I would love to see every single team play in their home stadium. And I've been lucky enough to go to a lot of those stadiums. So it's good. The other thing that I learned is, I still get nervous before shows. This is something that I guess I didn't really realize. I'm with Darren. I'm thinking it's okay. Darren doesn't know the story, so I'm going to share this with you guys too. Darren has no clue this even happened. No one knows except for my wife, so I'm going to share this with you guys, and it's going to be the funniest thing in the world. So Darren and I get there. We go out. We go. We get Starbucks, or he gets Starbucks. We go to Walmart, get some drinks and waters for their rooms and stuff like that. Put everything in there, and then we go to lunch. And we go to lunch at a great, amazing barbecue place. Smoke Shack is what it's called. It was amazing. It was fantastic. I got fried okra. I've got, you know, I got brisket. I got whatever. I'm having a great time. But the whole time, I'm still nervous, right? Because we have this big show that Darren had worked out, which is like 2 hours away in the other direction. So we have to go 2 hours in the other direction to go to this show. So I'm nervous. I did not sleep well the night before. I'm really whatever. So we stop as we're getting ready to head out to head back to the hotel from eating and doing whatever. But Darren, we're talking about the show or whatever, and I'm getting like more and more anxious. Like I'm getting super anxious about this. Darren pulls over. He goes into a Starbucks to get like a shot of whatever. I open the door of this Dodge Charger and I throw up all over this parking lot in Texas. I apologize to the people that cleaned that up. I threw up everywhere, all over the place. I was so nervous that I could not even enjoy that. Darren has no clue this episode. So the first time he listened to this, he'll hear it. Throw up all over this parking lot, my entire lunch, throw it up. And then I just close the door and sit in the car, and I'm just like, I'm going to die on this trip. I'm going to die on this trip because I'm not going to be able to hold any food down. After we did the first show, I was fine. But that first show, I was super nervous because it was kind of a big deal. Like, we were going to parts unknown. We were going to do, you know, we had 2 hours of travel. It was just Aaron and I hanging out, and I wanted to make sure that when I did this show, he'd seen me do stand-up before. I've done stand-up with Darren a bunch of times, but this is the first time I've ever featured for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been on the same show. I've done 5, 10 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever, here and there. But this is 20, 25, half an hour that I'm doing for in front of Darren, you know, and Darren is going to be, you know, has to close it out after that. So if I may do a terrible job, right, he has to try to recover from that and then put on a good show. So it's like all the pressure's on me at that point because we didn't have host or anything like that. We had, you know, we had like the venue do their from the announcements from the back and then it come to whatever and stuff, but there was no like host or whatever and stuff. So that was, it was so awkward, and I was so stressed about it because once I knew we didn't have a host, I knew it was like literally being the first comedian up is always hard, but usually you're either the MC or you're a guest, you know, you're the opener and you're only going to do 10 minutes. So it doesn't matter what you do, because if you mess up, then the middle act or feature can pick it up and you'll be fine. And then the headliner comes and smashes everything. But being all of those at once and not having any way to, I have to like win over the crowd immediately. I don't know why, it just like stressed me out, which was super weird because I'm so used to that. Like I've done so many shows where I'm like, yeah, I'll MC and I'll do stuff later for you guys, you know, for whoever. Like, I don't care. But I don't know. Something about that just did not feel good to me. So I tossed my cookies in a parking lot. I tossed my barbecue in a parking lot in Texas, which was terrible because the barbecue was fantastic. And now I'm like, you know what's funny is I'm sad now thinking about it because the barbecue was so amazing. So we do the first show. It went well. It was kind of a wonky situation where they weren't expecting us. I guess things hadn't been conveyed right, but we got the show going anyways, and it was great. We had fun. Darren and I drove back, had a good time. The next day, we did a show at Upstage Comedy Lounge in San Antonio. That's where we did the next two nights. And that night, my best friend from childhood, Josh Rosto, came out. I gave a shout out to the crowd. It was a big deal because as a kid, he was always there for me. He was like my big brother. And if anyone knows anything about me, I have a big mouth, right? It looks small here on screen if you're watching this on YouTube, but I have a big mouth. I talk a lot of smack. I am kind of a smart aleck. I just say whatever, which is probably why I'm a comedian, because I am able to get away with that stuff. But I was always the kid that would not back down to people, even people 2-3 times my size. I didn't care. Like, I was like, I'm going to make you feel stupid. I'm going to, you know, use jokes to make fun of you. I'm going to roast you, whatever it is. But Josh Rosto would end up taking the brunt of that, of those things, and have to fight on my behalf. So for a long time, I didn't have to fight. I'd have to fight my own battles. And so he came out, and I'm sure there's a few times he wanted to beat me up himself, because I'm sure I got him into way more trouble than he should have been in, but he was always a good guy to me. He's always been like a bit of brother to me. So I was grateful he came out and saw it. And then the next night, I had my grandma come out, who never has seen me do stand-up ever. She's probably, I think she's seen clips on YouTube or whatever, and she's seen little things, but she's never seen me do stand-up. Now, you would think that would make me the most nervous possible, because my grandma has been like my biggest champion my entire life. I was the least nervous that night, because I knew that no matter how I did, my grandma would still be proud of me, right? And that's a big thing. As a comedian, there has to be moments where you go, you know what? I'm just going to go and do my thing, and whatever happens, happens, and I'm going to walk away from this okay. And I had a fantastic show. That was probably my best show. I added some new jokes. Oh, Darren and I wrote a joke that was – I wrote a joke between plane rides, and I gave it – and I said it to Darren. I was like, this is what I'm thinking. He's like, oh, you should try that tonight. And so we worked on it on the drive or whatever. And now it's probably going to be one of my opening pieces, because I think it's pretty funny. It can like get a lot of people on your side or whatever and stuff. And it's just funny. It's just a funny, silly, fun bit. And so that all worked. It was just a great time. And so I love Texas, San Antonio. I went there a lot when I was a kid to go to the Alamo and the Riverwalk and stuff, but I didn't spend a ton of time there, so it's not like what I'm used to. But the people of Texas are the nicest people, man. Like, it doesn't matter what part of Texas you go to, people are super nice. Well, I don't know. I've never been to the Panhandle, so I can't say that for sure. But the rest of Texas I've been to, and it was a great time, and I can't wait to go back. I'm working on trying to get more dates out there, trying to go back to Texas, because, one, that's where I'm from. It's where I grew up, and I want to go back there. I definitely, at some point in my career, want to shoot a special in Bell County, because that's where I grew up, and I would love to go back there. I have always wanted to. It's funny, because I've always wanted to do the Bell County, like, they have a theater, they have like a expo center, the Bell County Expo Center. I've always wanted to do the Bell County Expo Center. It's this giant thing. It's where I saw, believe it or not, it's where I saw Vanilla Ice perform when I was a kid, right? Yeah, that's how weird that is. So it was a good time. I had a lot of fun. And I've grown a lot during that time period. What I'm seeing is, when my stand-up game goes up another level, my writing game goes up another level, and it just keeps going and going. So I have projects that I'm working on with a lot of producers, other writers, directors. I mean, just like I am busy, 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 and I am so blessed for it. What I want to do at some point, and I think if you guys are listening to this, if you're watching on YouTube or you're listening to the podcast, and you want to think about this, I want to find out if anybody wants to do some comedy coaching, comedy writing stuff. Like, I want to help more comedians, because I learn a lot of stuff as I'm on the road, as I write other projects, as I do other things. And I like to start some kind of thing. I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably like a Patreon or something, because I found that if I don't pay for something, I'm less likely to do it. I'm less likely to be involved in it. So I think like $5 a month or something like that, to be do like a monthly meetup or a weekly meetup or a bi-weekly meetup or something like that. And we do go over jokes, we go over a thing, and then maybe we have like a $10, $15, $20 tier, something like that, where I do a one-on-one every month with somebody for, 15 minutes or whatever and stuff. Something like that, right? So if you want to do something like that, let me know. I haven't set up the Patreon. I have a Patreon set up. I haven't done anything with it. I think that's the way to go. I want to help more people do stuff. I know Hot Breath has something similar. I know Jerry Corley does classes. I know Robert G. Lee does some writing groups after you take his classes and stuff. I know there's a lot of people out there. If you're listening to this, then you know me and you know what I've accomplished. And not being inside Hollywood, as far as like, I'm not a credited writer with like giant stuff. I don't have a TV show. I don't have a special yet. That's coming. I don't have a special yet, but I have all these things in the works, and the stuff that I've worked on, and the money that I've made just by hustling myself. And I know that there are other people like me out there that are not in the Hollywood system, that are not near Hollywood, that are not near anything, that want to hustle and do that. And I love that. Like, I think that's the way to go, honestly. Like, I know some point I will be. It's so close. And I know so many people, and there's so many things that are I can't talk about here that are in the fire, so to speak, that it's only a matter of time. And so I'm not worried about it. It'll be we'll be there, right? This you probably won't see this face on TV. Like I won't be you know the hot doctor on any TV shows or anything like that. But you know, there I'll be doing stuff, writing stuff, you know, doing stuff like that. So someday I'll get there, and I know I will, because again, I have so many irons in the fire that I can just see those things happening. So just, you know, you shoot an email, thecleancomedypodcast@gmail.com. I'm pretty sure that's the right email. I should double check that right before I shout out stuff like that. I think it's also on the show notes and stuff. cleancomedypodcast@gmail.com. No the, just cleancomedypodcast@gmail.com. So, you know, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm up to. We have some more guests that are coming. I just booked two more guests. So we have guests coming on. The logo, if you're seeing it, will be changing soon. Luke is officially gone, unfortunately. That's sad. He does a lot of the editing, and he does the thumbnails and some other stuff with me. So he's not, like, out of here forever. He's just not available as a co-host anymore. So it's just going to be – this is going to get changed. So if you have some ideas for the Clean Comedy Podcast logo, let me know. I do want to get a new logo made, because I think we're going into a new era, especially after we break 300, which is coming up pretty soon. I want to get a new logo. I want to get a new logo and really, really do something with it. Probably having my face. I thought about having my face with a bar of soap in it. I don't know. That's just some of the things that I think of. Again, I do so much that I'm glad that I could have this few minutes to just talk to you guys, like, and girls and whoever's listening. I appreciate, I know that's the other thing, is I appreciate every single person that listens to this podcast. You could be listening to anything else, honestly. Like, and I know there's a million podcasts out there. We're still in the top 2.5% of podcasts. We still get a lot of listeners. Everything works well. I'm out there. I also want to make stickers to send out to people. So that's another thing that I'm going to get going, is I'm going to start, you know, asking for fan email. And if you send fan email and put your address, I'm going to make whatever the new sticker is, I'm going to get those made into stickers, and I'll mail them out to you so you can have them. I want to do a lot more stuff. I want to do a lot more outreach. I am so appreciative for everybody who listens to this, because you don't have to. Like, you literally don't have to. And you do. And so I appreciate that. And I just know that I am grateful and will be forever grateful for that. And then also it means I can build a fan base to come see you guys in your city. So thank you guys for checking out the Clean Comedy Podcast. I'm James Creviston. Please like, subscribe, listen to more podcasts, send me some, you know, messages, cleancomedypodcast@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.